from the message title, Pursuit of God's Peace. Pursuit of God's Peace. And the Lord gave me this title several months ago, but it was a different title. And when the Lord gave me the message, he switched it up a little bit. And he spoke to me and said, in this season, my people need to pursue my peace. And so I'm here to encourage you today to go after and pursue God's peace. And in the times that we're in right now, over the past year and a half, we've been journeying through this pandemic. And if you haven't needed God's peace through this, I assure you, you've needed God's peace through something over the past few years. And so we need God's peace through this right now. And so God has a message for you today. And I'm not here to preach. I'm not here to teach. But God said to Tammy to encourage my people today. And so I'm here to encourage your hearts on today. And so I'll be starting today by asking the question, why must I pursue God's peace? We have a God in heaven who's all-knowing, who created the heavens and the earth, who's omnipresent, who's, you know, knows everything. Why must I pursue God's peace? We have this God in heaven. Why do I have to pursue God's peace? Well, if we go to Genesis 3, chapter 1, we'll find why we need to pursue God's peace. And this passage is not in the slides, but I want to read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And this is the fall of man. And it reads, now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, and to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the question again, why must I pursue peace? And we find in Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, the disruption of peace and harmony gone. God had created the heavens and the earth, and he saw that all was good. And here comes the fall of man. All peace and harmony gone. Disruption. And now, here we have to daily pursue after God's peace. You see, when we are perceived in our mother's womb and come out of the womb, it's a daily battle. We're born into sin because of the fall of man. And so daily, you're pursuing after peace. It's a daily pursuit. And then there's a promise. In Isaiah 26:3, God tells us, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you." This is a promise from God. God's word is truth. His word does not return void. What God promises, it comes to pass. We have a promise to stand on. If we fix our mind and our thoughts on God, no matter what is going on around us, trouble on every side of us, we can still have peace. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. This promise, Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you." But that promise comes with conditions. You have to trust in God, and you trust in God with faith. Now, we know that faith is the substance of those things that are hoped for and the evidence of those things that are not seen. You got to trust in something that you don't even see yet. Trust in something that you don't even see yet. If we go over to Matthew chapter 14:30, here we find Peter, who's just seen Jesus walking on water. And he says to him, "Jesus, if it's you, then command me to come and walk over to you." And Jesus commands him to walk over. And he says in Matthew chapter 14:30, "But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. 'Save me, Lord,' he shouted." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Isn't it like us to say to Jesus, "If it's really you that's telling me to do so on and so forth, if it's really you that's doing this, Lord, then show me." But then when he shows us, "Oh, ye of little faith." Here he has shown Peter, I have given you the ability, the power to walk on water. And here you're walking. You've taken your eyes off me. You're walking on the water and you've become distracted. Now you've lost faith and you start to waver. "Oh, ye of little faith." We have to trust God, even when we don't understand it. Otherwise, our peace is gone. Pursue God's peace. Another way we pursue God's peace is obedience to God. We find in back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, the fall of man. "At the moment, their eyes were open and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves." In disobedience, if we think about maybe, you know, when we were children or even our own children, if they've done something wrong, they tend to hide themselves. If you ever find a child that's doing something wrong or have done something wrong, they're quiet, hiding, because they're ashamed. They don't want to be found in disobedience. And that's what they've done. They've been disobedient to the Lord, and they're found in their nakedness. Now, God already knows, but they're trying to hide. And God is calling out to them, but they're hiding. In disobedience, the peace has been robbed, snatched away from them. Now, I'm not saying that our peace is robbed from us in all times. Like, we don't go through things all the time because of disobedience. Like, we will walk through storms because we are believers. Through Christ, we're going to walk through things. And it's not because of disobedience, but in obedience, we're able to, you know, experience the peace of God. It's not that we, you know, as believers, we're not going to go through things. But through believing and trusting in Christ, we can have that peace, that blessed assurance that, God, even though I'm feeling this pain, God, even though I'm hurting, God, I know that you're able, God. I know that you have the answer, God. I know that you give me the peace that passes all understanding, God. I don't understand it. My simple mind can't even understand what you're doing right now, God. But thank you for your peace, God. And then, through prayer, it is vital that we pray. Pray. Spend time with the Father. Pray to God. First, offer peace. Pray for his peace. Pray for understanding, not your own understanding. Your own understanding is going to leave you confused. Your own understanding is going to leave you right in the state that you're in. Pray for God's understanding. And then the other thing is to pray for others. I have found such a blessing when I'm going through my own trials and tribulations, when I take my focus off of my situation and start praying for others. Oh, what a blessing it is. Oh, what a blessing. Take your mind off of your own situation. Pray for others. God has called us to, some of us have the gift of intercession, but then some of us don't, but then it doesn't matter. Pray for your sisters and brothers in Christ. We are all journeying through different things. Pray for one another. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace." Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And verse 8, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Amen. See, when we focus on the problem, we're distracted. When we think about the issue, we don't have time to think about praising the Lord. We can think about, oh, God, the job has ran me crazy all day. Then I come home, these children got on my nerves. They need help with the homework. They're wondering what we're going to have for dinner. The husband asking about this, that, and the third. But instead of complaining about all of these things, wait a minute. Did you not pray for those children? Thank God for those children. Thank God for those precious gifts. Did you not pray for that job? Thank God for that job. Ask God how he can use you in that job. God, they're about to drive me insane, but God, how can you use me in this situation? I'm about to lose my mind. But how can I see you in this, Lord? How can you use me in this? God, I pray for this husband, God. Show me how to be the wife you've called me to be, Lord. Look for God in every situation. We serve a good, good Father. He is excellent. He is perfect. Now, while the fall of man came to disrupt the peace and harmony, we have a Savior. We have a Savior. We can change those thoughts. We don't have to stay there. So we have the Holy Spirit of God There is no limits, no limits to the Spirit of God. We place limits on ourselves. Well, there is limits on ourselves. There is no limits to God. In Galatians 5:22, one of my favorite scriptures, it reads, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The Holy Spirit produces. The Holy Spirit. Tammy doesn't produce. The Holy Spirit. Because Tammy does not have any control. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, you can have trouble on every side. Storms blowing, winds blowing, but you can still have peace. How do you have peace when there's trouble on every side? The Spirit. God says that you can have peace with the Spirit leading. It's impossible for us to have peace, but by the Spirit leading, the fruit of the Spirit, you can have peace. And then, it's either going to be convenience versus obedience. Convenience versus obedience. So Eve was distracted by the fruit and what was pleasing to her eyes and what she wanted. And so she walked in disobedience. I think about the story of Jesus. And before his crucifixion, he was in great anguish. But he said to the Father, "Not my will, Father, but your will. Not my will, Father, but your will." So either we walk in obedience or convenience. What feels good to us? What's going to make me have the peace that I want? I think about this song that ministered to my heart many, many years ago in the early 2000s. And I came upon the song, and I don't know how I came upon it, but God knew I needed it. And it's a song by Prophetess Juanita Bynum. And this became my anthem. And she starts the song off with "Some look for it in the alcohol bottle, some look for it on crack cocaine," and she goes on and on. "But I came to tell you that God is the only one that can give you peace, everlasting peace." And so we look for peace in many different places, but God is the only one. God is the only one. That convenience that we're looking for, we're thinking that other things can give us peace. But God is the only one that can give us that peace. This song became my anthem. This song became the thing that I went to, that ministered to my heart. And I remember my mom just playing the song over and over again. She loves the song, and she plays. And then I remember my husband losing his mom, losing his dad, and I remember him. others. Amen. Amen. Seek peace with others. The Bible tells us that blessed are the peacemakers. Make peace with others. Seek peace. Search out peace and hold on to it. I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here before you, the Lord gave me this word and said that we'll need peace like never before. We will need God's peace, not man's peace, but God's peace like never before. Seek it and hold on to it. Grab a hold of it and hold on to it. In John 14:25, Jesus is telling the disciples, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled or afraid. Hallelujah. When the weight of the world becomes too much for you, Jesus Christ has left a helper to lift the weight from you. You don't have to carry those things around. Whatever the thing is that has come to rob you of your peace, hurt, pain, loss of job, health, whatever it is, let it go. Take your hands off of it. I promise you, without a shadow of a doubt, the Spirit is waiting to lift it from you. Let go and let God. Let God have his way. Why did he have to go if you're not going to let it go? Let go and let God have his way. With that and the Holy Spirit, we can now have shalom, the free gift of peace, shalom, wholeness, tranquility, peace that God intended before the fall of man, before the fall of man. But thanks be unto God, Jesus Christ came, the Holy Spirit, the helper. We have a Savior. We don't have to go through this on our own. I have someone that the Lord blessed me with 45 years ago, and I have seen this beautiful lady journey through heartache, pain. I've seen it. I've witnessed it with my own eyes from as long as I can remember. And we don't do much of testimony service in this congregation, but I thought it would be really great to do a testimony service today. I've seen her journey through at the age of 31, lose a child in 1986. One child was in 1980 born with Down syndrome and a heart condition, and went to Charleston for an operation and did not make it through that operation. She was at the hospital alone and lost her child. And after that, I saw her journey through a really bad time. As a child, I witnessed it. We witnessed it. And then a tumultuous marriage, and there was no peace in the home. There was no peace. And then just a really, really what I would consider to be a life of no peace, honestly. But I saw her. I witnessed her cry out to God. I witnessed her writing a lot. And I think that's where I get my writing from, a lot. And I knew she was writing to the Lord. And then the Lord saw fit in 2019 to take another child. Her child at 42 years old. And then I saw her journey through another dark time. And I thought, Lord, will she make it through this time? She's been through so much, God. And this is one of the darkest times that I saw her through. But I like to call my mother up today because this is one of the most peaceful times that I've seen. I called her up today because, honestly, I thank God for her and her journey through life. And I have never seen the peace of God rest on this lady like I see right now. And I praise God and I give honor to God for the peace that rests upon her. So I've asked her, she's not one to stand before people and speak. But I asked her if she would share how God has allowed her to have peace through all that she's journeyed through. And even, I mean, it's been a little over 2 years since we lost my sister, her second child. But God has given her peace. And so I asked her if she would share just a little bit this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. Love you. Well, a little nervous, y'all, but just bear with me. If anybody knows that who've went through a lot of abuse, physical and mental abuse, you know how that can tear you down, take your body down. You don't have any hope. You don't want to be here. And I remember one day I was talking to this lady, and she said, I told her, we used to talk all the time, I didn't have many friends and didn't go anywhere. I was always home. And I went to her one day and I said, I would die for my kids. And she looked at me and she said, Linda, that's what everybody would call me. She said, you live for your children. She said, you go to God. And she said, get on your knees. It's too big for you. You can't handle it on your own. You have to go to God, and God will take care of it. And God has. He has brought me through so much. You know, I'm here because of him. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to do it on your own. The things that I went through, you know, it was sad and unhappiness in my life. You know, it was just awful. And just to see my children watch me go through this and to lose my first son, it was terrible. But God gave me peace with it. And I told God I didn't want this peace. I mean, this hatred, bitterness in my heart. I don't want it and I don't need it because it would not, you know, give me what I wanted out of life, the joy out of life, and to have you beside me, and didn't know at the time that he was there with me at all times, walking with me, holding my hand, covering me, and that's what I would pray for. Lord, help me, cover me, you know, bring me out of this. And he did. You know, when you have something on your heart and it feels like something's pressing up against you, when God brought all that peace to me, it's just like something lifted off my heart and I could feel it. All of that was off of me, and I thank God for it. He's a savior. Anybody going through it, praise God and thank God for what, because he's always there on your side. You may not see him, but he's there, always there on your side. And I give thanks to him. I get up in the morning, I praise God, and I thank him. I sit down and get up. I thank him, I praise him. I get up in the morning, I thank him, I praise him, because he is worthy to be praised. Yes, he is. And I wrote something. As for me, I love to write. As Tammy said, I love to write a lot. And I wrote this. It says, as for me, I called upon the Lord, and he saved me. Morning, noon, and evening, I prayed and I cried out loud, and he heard my voice. Redeem my soul and peace from the battle that was against me. There were many, but God heard my cry and my prayers. God will give you strength and comfort you, and he will give you the peace that he promised to heal you and heal the broken spirit that have faith and trust in him. Our Father, thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mother. She doesn't know how much her strength blesses other people. And a month ago, my aunt lost a son, and God used her to encourage my aunt. And, you know, we don't know sometimes how God is using us or will use us later on in life. We can't see peace in what we're going through. We can't see any type of peace, but God will use us later on in life to encourage someone. And we have to be willing to accept whatever it is that God has allowed us to go through. Whatever my lot, it is well with my soul, God. Whatever you've allowed, God, it is well. And then you know, rejoice in the Lord always. In Habakkuk 3:17, it reads, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the Lord of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Father God, we come to you today, Lord, thanking you for this word on today, Lord. Thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us, Lord. Thank you for your peace, your love, your joy, and your understanding, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people on today, Lord. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that I pray. Amen.